on registering Americans to exercise their right to vote. On September 23rd, the Bus Project will have their signature bus parked in Pioneer Square and host a day filled with guest speakers, games, and prizes. More information, including how to volunteer with the Bus Project, may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand column of our homepage under Community Events.
And you do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. It is just 10 a.m. And we are standing by for Air Cascadia. And Chris Andre will be up next, followed at 10:15 by Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein, whose guest is Eric DePlace with Sightline Institute, about the latest developments with coal trains. At 11 on Disability Awareness, host Grace Reed spotlights PHC Northwest Beyond Limitations, and at 11:30 on Health and Healthcare Forum, host Roberta Hall speaks with Dr. Martin Donahue about some of the health and environmental consequences associated with growing genetically modified crops. And we want to thank KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. And, let's go to Air Cascadia.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, September 22nd, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Radio Benghazi, coming at you from a green platform, as always. Green and somewhat opinionated. I guess pretty much everybody knows by now that I believe that climate crisis is an issue of social justice. Countries most affected, it's the poor that feel it first, feel it hardest, and are more likely to feel it finish them off once and for all. This is of no concern whatsoever to the corporate interests. It used to be when companies had their feet anchored on the ground in a particular nation, and there was some degree of allegiance to that nation. Now, though, once a nation, once a region has been utterly and completely destroyed and made rendered uninhabitable by the shenanigans of the corporate CEOs, they can move on. They can move on and find another place. The trouble, though, with that plan is that eventually we run out of even the wealthiest people, even the Bill Gates, the Koch brothers, even all of those, John Kerry, for example, eventually find that they have no place to run and no place to hide. The climate crisis will hunt them down and have them for dinner. That said, let's hit a few headlines. We want to talk to Ann Larson with Strike Debt in a moment and try to reach Will Potter, also of Green is the New Red. Book came out a few years ago and it becomes ever more pertinent as we trudge forward into an ever darkening landscape. At some point, America came to the end of an egalitarian dream birthed and nurtured by the New Deal of the 1930s. That was the creation of Social Security in the 40s. And then, of course, the Great Society programs of the 1960s. So now it's popular, however, to say that as President Richard Nixon was to the left of Barack Obama, but what that means is that our society was then closer to social democracy. Social democracy. What we have now is capitalism, or a capitalist form of democracy. Two or three decades ago, however, we still didn't think of an education as being part of the landscape of predation upon the poor. But now, in fact, it is, as a new crew of for-profit colleges, higher education has gone hyena. It's tearing at the financial flesh of the poor. We're going to try to speak with Ann Larson in just a moment and see if we can get a bit of perspective on the privatization of the public mind. The Court of Appeals set a date of November 14th. We'll get to some of these headlines in a little bit more depth if we have time later on in the program. The Court of Appeals set a date of November 14th to review an appeal of the citizens against LNG, led, of course, by the intrepid Jody McCaffrey, who seems to be the lone voice crying in the wilderness. If anyone out there is listening from downstate or is planning a blissful weekend at the beach in Coos Bay, you might want to think of dropping in on Jody or attending one of the many council meetings that takes place down there from time to time, all in the name of preserving our coastlines. Listen, let's take a look at this business of the sea star die-off. This should be extremely alarming. Most people these days don't have recollection of being a child at the beach, lying on rocks, looking down into the magic world of the tide pool and seeing sea stars in their habitat, and many hundreds of them, beautiful colors, purple, orange, they're gorgeous. They're gone. The sad part is if you don't have a memory of that, if you've seen these things in books and once in a while hear about them on the news, there's no emotional connection there. So it becomes, instead of something as part of one's memory, part of one's store of dreams, it becomes just another political issue, and not a very important one at that. But sea stars all up and down the coast are dying off. We don't know why. It's something in that habitat that I could tell you, if it's killing them off, it's killing off other things too, because the food chain is unforgiving and relentless. And eventually, it'll find its way to your door. So what we are looking at now down in Coos Bay, the installation of these huge terminals, the prospect of enormous tankers standing offshore waiting to load or unload. Just that, a good day on the docks of Coos Bay is going to be so hazardous and so damaging to the environment that the idea of a spill or catastrophe, it doesn't even enter into the equation. They don't even plan for it. There's no point. Because if and when it happens, it's going to be so bad, there will be nothing left. A good day is killing the environment. The hearing officer continues to rubber stamp the approval for the Jordan Cove, which is the Pacific Connector project. Despite FERC still not getting what it needs from Jordan Cove, December meetings are in the works for a yet-to-be-released draft environmental assessment on the Jordan Cove Pacific Connector project. So the Citizens Against LNG for now have been able to hold them off. There's a tremendous amount of legal work to be done, huge sums of money piled up on the opposing side, not much on the citizen side, but nonetheless, the fight continues. And Linn County District Attorney, has cleared a Springfield police officer who shot a woman after she pointed a pellet gun at the officers. This was in the heat of a car chase last month. District Attorney Doug Martini said that, don't you love it? His name really is Martini. And Justin Myers was justified when he said that the officer, Justin Myers, was justified when he shot Amanda Gatewood in the back. Police said that the woman was sitting behind the wheel when this happened and pointing a gun at them. She might have wanted to rethink that idea. And this comes from an Earth First activist who testified before the U.S. House Judiciary Committee about the Animal Enterprise is Terrorism Act. I think we all know what that is, right? Anything to do with protecting animals, anything that activists do in the name of protecting the creatures who are being processed through factory farms, essentially the victims of Monsanto. Anyone who stands up and does whatever they can in the name of improving the lives of these creatures, our fellow creatures, those people can be charged under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. That means animal business. In other words, using animals as raw materials, kind of like logs being sawed up to make planks to build houses. Instead, we saw up animals and turn them into McNuggets of one form or another. So you get behind a movement that tries to protect the creatures, and you can be charged as a terrorist. This, again, is the U.S. Patriot Act, which people coming of age in these days, in these times, don't realize that this is what governs our lives, governs every breath that we take, as well as the other creatures. Earth First argued that such sweeping legislation criminalizes First Amendment activity. Indeed, it does. Whistleblowing, nonviolent civil disobedience as terrorism would have a chilling effect on free speech. Members of the committee, which included Representative Bobby Scott, he's a Democrat from Virginia, has a pretty good record. You can Google him. And, of course, Representative James Sensenbrenner, a Republican who had a change of heart, dismissed the Earth First concern promised that the law would only target property destruction and violence. Since that time, the true scope of the legislation has been shown by prosecutions, uncovered FBI documents, and new campaigns by industry groups. It's been completely revealed and unmasked, and it has become undeniably clear that members of Congress were either duped by corporations and the FBI, or they intentionally lied to the American people about their intentions. The true targets of the AETA aren't arsonists or underground activists. Instead, the people at most risk are undercover investigators and above-ground activists. Now, spurred chiefly by China, the United States, and India, the world spewed far more carbon pollution into the air last year than ever before. Ha! And we have all this business about protocols to last till the end of time, which is coming up pretty fast on the horizon right now, thanks to the unrestrained growth that corporate interest, the privatization of everything on the planet, which can be remotely defined as raw material and processed into more stuff to sell to more and more, ever more people. All of this has resulted in the world spewing out far more carbon pollution into the air last year than ever before. This on the eve of a meeting of the world leaders gathering to discuss how to reduce the heat-trapping gases. The world pumped an estimated nearly 40 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the air last year by burning coal, oil, and gas. So never mind the trains and terminals and so forth. We have to stop using this stuff. Stop taking it out of the ground in the first place. And then we don't have to worry about trains and trucks and pipelines blowing up and so forth. No more bomb. You don't need a bomb train if you don't have anything on the train that acts like a bomb. That's the end of the story right there. The results of the study were published on Sunday, just yesterday, in three articles in peer-reviewed journals, Nature Geoscience and Nature Climate Change. Check it out. The corruption of the innocent, money and an NGO's worst combination ever. If organizers with NGOs are being paid, if any nonprofit, if they're being paid, usually they are trapped in a dynamic, whether or not they want to be. While combining a job with organizing to challenge the system sounds tempting and full of potential, it's overwhelmingly not possible. There are two fundamentally incompatible aims. And on that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Monday, September 22nd, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today for us. Thanks so much, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO-AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Two years ago, Portland lost a musical and cultural icon with the passing of Ghanaian master drummer, bandleader, and teacher Obo Adi. His contribution to the raising of local knowledge and appreciation of African music in general, and Ghanaian music in particular, and his tireless work with local youth cannot be overstated. As part of our fall membership drive, KABU is proud to present a celebration and retrospective of Obo's work on Thursday, October 2nd, from 1 until 4 p.m. Musical offerings, remembrances, and interviews will be part of this important figure's legacy. Join Andy Hosh and DJ Charlie and others at 1 p.m. on Thursday, October 2nd. The preceding hour, from noon until 1 p.m., will be filled with Ghanaian music as part of DJ Charlie's regular World Beat Connection time slot. See you then.
And this KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Northwest Connector, connecting riders to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes from Portland, Salem, and Corvallis.